Good morning, everyone. This is Jeffy Kennedy, author of Epic Fantasy Romance. I'm here with my first cup of coffee. Huh, delightful. Today is, say it with me, people, it is Friday. Woohoo! February 16th. Hope you all had a great week. Valentine's Day in the middle of this week. I've always had very mixed feelings about Valentine's Day, despite the efforts of people to make it be, you know, like the Leslie Knope Galentine's Day and, oh, it's about love. I think it still serves as a reminder to too many people whether or not they have the kind of romantic love in their lives that they would like to have, which is occasionally true, but I think probably more often not. So my heart goes out to you if you're one of the not so much. And if you are one of the hell yes, then more power to you. It's been an okay week for me. First Order of the Fae Realms just feels like it's creeping along. And I've had a better week than I did last week. So I'm taking that as a win. And really, I'm making more progress than I think I am, which is, you know, another one for the books on not to conflate the reading experience with the writing experience. This book is writing slowly. It's going to read super fast. I know that. And I keep thinking, oh, I need to pick up the pace and not spend so long on X, Y, or Z. But I'm really not. And right at this point, I've got a little less than 18,000 words to go, which theoretically I can finish next week. That is the plan. more or less, right? I don't know if I can actually make that anymore. Let's see. So what is next week? I am not taking the holiday next week. Well, yeah. So if I got 15,000 words next week and I got a decent amount today, theoretically, I could get this finished by next Friday, which is the plan. We'll see. I mean, it's got to start writing faster someday soon, right? Any minute now. And then I'll spend the last week of February revising. I have been revising a bit as I go, more so than I normally allow myself. And part of this is because, why is it? I think it's because, and I know I've talked about this before, so sorry, but this has been such an interesting book to write. In some ways, it's a push for me because it's a different style and structure. And also because I did go off this original idea of this movie, and I think that really screwed me up. I think it was too much planning. I think having that synopsis that I made when we first went on submission for it slowed me down and messed me up. In retrospect, I'm kind of glad that we did not sell this when I thought we would, just because it's changed so much. And I'm really trying to break that gridlock of expectation of how I thought the story was going to go, because I am just simply not capable of writing it that way. So I guess it's going fine. It's fine. I had been planning on starting to write Reluctant Wizard, Elisa's book, at the 1st of March. So I'm still more or less on schedule to do that. We'll see what happens. I'm kind of feeling like I want to take a spring break. So I'm going to talk to the Hubs about that. Might be nice just to take a week off. I've been kind of continuing my trend of, well, it's not a trend. I was going to say of reading nonfiction. I'm reading like the second nonfiction book that I've read this year. I don't think that counts as a trend. I've been reading quite a bit lately, which is nice. But I've been on a good reading trend, books that I've been really enjoying. So right now I'm reading Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. which I mostly remembered hearing about and not actually experiencing for myself. There was a huge backlash against it, remember? But I started reading it because Emily Chang, who wrote Brotopia, which I really enjoyed and highly recommend, mentioned it quite a bit. And Sheryl Sandberg worked at Google for a long time. She's also a Harvard graduate, Harvard MBA, and then went to Facebook. And you know, it's funny. It's interesting to read the book and realizing how little it deserved the backlash that I remember reading about it. I remember women being so angry about it and saying that the last thing they needed to do was lean in, you know, that they didn't need one more source of pressure. And that's not her message at all. It's very interesting, given what the message of the book is, which is actually containing amazing advice for women in business and how to overcome some of our natural tendencies, or let me walk that back, not natural tendencies, programmed tendencies and cultural expectations. And I remember reading about this before, but, oh, I should find the specifics. Hold on. Okay, so I pulled up Kindle on my phone here. So she talks about a 2003 Columbia Business School professor, Frank Flynn, and New York University professor Cameron Anderson ran an experiment to test perceptions of men and women in the workplace. They started with a Harvard Business School case study about a real-life entrepreneur, Heidi Roizen. The case described how Roizen became a successful venture capitalist by using her outgoing personality and vast personal and professional network that included many of the most powerful business leaders in the technology sector. Flynn and Anderson assigned half of the students to read Heidi's story and gave the other half the same story with just one difference. They changed the name Heidi to Howard. Professors Flynn and Anderson then polled the students about their impressions of Heidi or Howard. The students rated Heidi or Howard as equally competent, which made sense since their accomplishments were completely identical. Yet while students respected both Heidi and Howard, Howard came across as a more appealing colleague. Heidi, on the other hand, was seen as selfish and not the type of person you would want to hire or work for. The same data with a single difference, gender, created vastly different impressions. And I think that this is so important. I mean, we kind of know this is true, but it is really, really important to remember that you can do absolutely everything the same, but gender is still going to affect how people perceive you. And one of the things that she brings up a whole lot is the idea that women are expected to be nurturing and work in a collective, and they are not supposed to have self-interest. And in the business workplace, self-interest, ambition, wanting things for yourself is rewarded. And men are much more likely to do that. And if women do that, they're not only not able to get the same rewards, they're negatively affected by it because people think that women shouldn't behave that way. And I think about this a whole lot, and I might make myself unpopular with this idea here because I know lots of writers out there love the heroine's journey as opposed to the hero's journey. And I know that Gail Carriger, you know, wrote this book on the heroine's journey, drawing heavily from mythology, all this kind of thing. And for those who aren't familiar, it's based on the story of Isis, I believe. And I'm sorry if I got that wrong, but I think that's right. I did read her book. It did not work for me. And I'm just going to flat out say that, which I know makes me unpopular because so many women writers love this. And they love the idea of that this is a journey where, as opposed to the hero going through and finding and conquering and discovering, that the heroine is team building and working communally, which is more how women work. And it just kind of bothers me because, yes, I do believe in working communally. I'm sure I am very much a networker. I'm definitely a delegator. Like the Clifton Strengths thing, connectedness is my number one strength. But I still love the hero's journey. I love the idea of personal achievement and not necessarily the drawing on the community. But Sheryl Sandberg gives some really interesting advice because she's saying, well, if you are in the workplace and you are, for example, negotiating for a better salary or negotiating to take over a project, that if a woman says, I deserve this or I want to do this, that is negatively perceived. It is seen as a woman being unpleasantly ambitious, whereas a man, that's a rewarded quality. And so what she suggests is that because women are rewarded for working communally, that instead, she says, we benefit from this. We, instead of I had a great year, we had a great year. And it's full of really great advice like that. And I sent my former boss from the environmental consulting firm I worked with a quote from it this morning, and she hadn't read the book either. And it's like, I feel like every woman, you know, should read this, especially if you're working in business. And I should send you what I sent, or I should read to you what I sent to her. Let me pull that up really quick on my text app on the computer here. She was talking about trying to make a decision about working for Google. And she had spreadsheets, which I kind of identify, of course, and love. And she said, well, that her spreadsheet showed that going to work for Google, which at the time was tiny and disorganized, was a bad idea because she had several job offers and Google was the worst. So, but the guy who hired her, whose name I don't recall, I'm sure he's famous, he said, only one criterion mattered when picking a job, fast growth. When companies grow quickly, there are more things to do than there are people to do them. When companies grow more slowly or stop growing, there is less to do and too many people to not be doing them. And that hit me so profoundly because this company that she and I used to work for, there was never enough work. And we were made to feel like this was our fault, that we needed to get out there and hustle more clients and hustle more work. And I don't know, maybe it would have helped, but I tried and was not good at it. But, you know, there was always, because it was a consulting firm, everything was based on billable hours. So you always had to be working on a project. And so you would get so many hours to work on a project and you'd be in this position of slowing down, of deliberately slowing down the work so that you had enough hours to fill your time. Because if you weren't billable, then you got in trouble and you were forever like seeking out other people in the company. You know, do you have work for me? You know, can I work on this project? And people would hoard their projects so that they would have enough billable hours. And it's like, wow, really enlightening to me that it's like, okay, that was a sign of a company that was growing very slowly or not growing at all. And eventually my team was cut, which is how I ended up going full-time writing before I was ready. But another thing that she suggests that I find really helpful, and I'm going to share with some of my writing people, my mentees, I suppose, is that she suggests having a long-term plan and an 18-month plan. Because one of her contentions is that, especially these days, it's very difficult to plan your career, that there is no career ladder. She calls it a career jungle gym, where you get to move around and, you know, make leaps and lateral to different things, which I like that image. But, you know, I feel like in all of the career advice and success stuff, people always talk about, oh, well, you know, you need your 6-month plan and your 1-year plan and your 5-year plan and your 10-year plan and all of this. And that never made sense to me because And she really brings this home, because when she was graduating from college, Mark Zuckerberg was 7 years old. There was no way for her to predict that she would want to be working in Facebook someday. But she did know the kinds of things that she wanted to be doing. And that's really come home for me, because I've always known the kinds of things I wanted to be doing. And we talked about that at the book event last weekend at Beastly Books, because Bella, who did a great job moderating, asked us all, the other three of us had all started out in science. And she was asking how we had made that transition and what was the difference. And I said, well, you know, I'd been working in brain science and neurophysiology because I was so interested in consciousness and, you know, like what part of us is the meat suit and what part of us is something else and where does that come from? And I realized that I'm writing that in my books, that that's a big part of what I write about. So I'm still doing the same thing. So I found her take on that really interesting and helpful, because you can plan like 18 months ahead. And I find that particularly interesting, that that's kind of where we are in publishing, right? You know, especially if you're doing traditional publishing, but also self-publishing, you're looking ahead like 18 months. And then the long-term plan is kind of the, you know, what is it that you really want to do with your life? What are you trying to do? And it came at a good time. I'm a believer that books deliver themselves to you at the right time. And it was really helpful, because I was talking with some other authors the other day that, you know, there are people who are writing like fantasy romance, my same-ish genre. And I've decided I'm sticking with epic fantasy romance, because that really is what I write. And I think romanticism is meaning something different to people. I won't object to my books being called that, but really my books are epic fantasy romance. So it'll be interesting to see what Tor calls Onira, or whatever it ends up being entitled. We still don't have a title. This is the problem with my side notes, as I lose track. I remember now. Every once in a while, I toy with creating a pseudonym and writing a Kindle Unlimited title that is more like a fantasy romance romanticy in Kindle Unlimited, because there are some people who are making big money in there. And that's one of my criteria. It's funny, because I think Sheryl Sandberg is so wealthy at this point that maybe she doesn't remember, although she does talk about needing a job and running out of her savings and needing to be employed. But I have to make decisions for like what books will make money, as well as my long-term plan. And I was thinking about, well, you know, maybe I should, you know, maybe I'm doing this wrong. And then, but reading this, I'm remembering that the reason that I'm writing books, the reason I write the kind of books I write, there is a balance there in that I need to pay the mortgage and keep the lights on and all of that. But also, it's really important to me to write the kind of story I want to write and not to write what someone else is writing. And I think that that's important for all of us. When I was talking about that, one of the other authors in the group said that she thought it was funny because she'd been thinking that maybe she should write more Jeffy-like books instead of such fluffy books. And I sent her the grass is greener gif, which I think was, you know, it's appropriate. But I also think that that's not bad to be thinking those things. I think that's part of the evaluation process, where you look and you think, well, should I be trying this on? Should I do these different things? How can I improve? How can I grow? So this has been a really great book for reading that. I also read Allie Hazelwood's Bride and enjoyed it very much. It was just perfect. Really excellent. It's really an urban fantasy. So I think it's funny it's being called romanticy, but that's the hot thing, right? But yeah, I found it delicious. I plan to post a review. I've recently also read The Midnight Library from Matt Haig. I read that for a book club. and I do want to talk about that. And I read Nettle and Bone by T. Kingfisher, and I really enjoyed that as well. I might talk about those more next week. I didn't expect to talk about Lean In for this long. But yeah, I highly recommend reading it. It's really insightful and a fairly fast read, too. Always a plus. I hope you all have an amazing weekend, and I will talk to you on Monday. You all take care. Bye bye.